Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 115 for Thursday, November 8th, 2012. And we're pretty much going to talk about everything this week that we talked about last week. So I'm just going to warn you up front. I am Phil Nickinson, editor of AndroidCentral.com, host of this little podcast, holder of a Nexus 4. Jerry's got the Nexus 10. I don't have the Nexus 4. No, I have the Nexus 4. I don't have the Nexus 10. I have a lot of Nexus lying around here. It's getting a little confusing. Welcome to the podcast. If it's your first time, we do this every week or so. And we do it with people from the site who you might know and love. Jerry Hildenbrand is one of them.
Hi, I'm Nexus 10.
You are the Nexus 10. Do you have it there?
Yep, I got it here.
Good. Oh, I can see myself in it. That's really kind of freakish. That's bizarre. I can see the reflection of myself. Yeah, anyway, Alex Dobie from England.
Hey, everyone. I am Galaxy Nexus today. Old school.
Oh, I remember that phone.
Oh, like, wait, you've got a cool phone, too.
I do, actually. I have an HTC One X Plus. That's a pretty cool phone.
We will talk about that as well. So we actually do have some new stuff this week. Hooray! I was afraid we were going to have to, you know, just cancel the podcast. No. Soldier on.
Yeah, I think we should.
All right, we'll do this. So welcome, it's your first time. We got a live chat room rocking. We are broadcasting this live and recording as well. So lots of people will listen to it later, but the live show is where it's at, I'm telling you. Because we have a habit of giving stuff away as well. So stick around. So, Nexus. not a whole lot to say that we haven't said in a 6,000-word review, although I tell you guys, I'm still finding stuff. Just little things. Not a lot's changed. I still like this phone a lot. It still feels really good. It still looks really good. It's still really fast. You guys got any questions after the review, Jerry or Alex? What's that?
Have you cracked it yet?
I have not cracked it. I have not broken it. So the back is still in pretty good shape. I got a few. I'm trying to look at it in the light the right way here. I got a couple tiny little scratches. Probably nothing that wouldn't happen on any other phone, I guess. It's, you know, sad to see happen on this, but
to be frank, you abuse the hell out of those phones, sliding them on discs all day long, so it's not surprising.
Well, I'm going to be Phil, but
yes,
you can be Frank if you want. No, it's I'm not treating it any more delicately than I treat any other phone. Yep. And I'm trying to be better to all the phones these days. But you know, I'm throwing it onto the bed when I get home and doing my usual stuff, and so far it's holding together just fine. So I think the glass back, and if you don't know what we're talking about, so the back of this thing is made out of some glassy substance that they don't quite call glass. I still don't know why LG doesn't call it glass. I think it has to do with, and this is just my theory, I have no concrete evidence, but I think it has to do with the front being Gorilla Glass, so they don't want to call the back glass because it might not be Gorilla Glass as well, so, and they don't want to confuse people. I don't know. It's weird. So it is the Optimus G here with it, by the way. No, it's holding up just fine. So I still really like this phone a lot. You guys want to talk any more about the price? I kind of think we've said all there is to say about it. It's $350, which is about as good as it gets, right? I mean, does it get any better, Jerry, for us in the States? Now, Alex is kind of shaking his head already because the pricing changes a little bit elsewhere. But
it depends where you are in Europe.
Yeah.
In the UK, we're fine. In a lot of sort of Western European countries, you're fine. But in sort of mainland Europe, it's the luck of the draw as to whether you can get it from Google Play or not. And if you can't, then you pay double the price for it. And that sucks. Not just for people who have to pay double the price, but for people on Google Play, because the stock's going to be reduced, because obviously people are going to be buying them and then selling them on eBay to people who can't get access to the Play Store.
For an unlocked device, and like, how could you not recommend this?
I want a 4 gigabyte version for $229.
Oh, stop it. With Edge data?
Oh, no. I don't know about that. Might as well be a Sprint phone if I had to do that.
Ooh, hey. Ooh. Ooh. Let's not go there. No, I mean, I'm doing a lot of thinking about, and I'll probably do a piece or two, about would I update from phone X to the Nexus 4, right? And take your pick. And I'm making this list in my head, and at some point I might actually write it down. Would I update from the Galaxy Nexus to the Nexus 4? Absolutely. Yes. I'll put that out there. Would I update from the Galaxy S3 to the Nexus 4? I don't know. I mean, Alex, you've used the GS3 at length.
Yeah, I was going to say that did a feature, I think, earlier this week, maybe late last week, on why you shouldn't really worry about 4.2 updates and why, in terms of software, if you're on a skinned phone that has 4.1, you're probably pretty much set for the next year, software-wise. I think the S3 isn't really going to get much different with a 4.2 update. A lot of the changes that are in there from 4.1 to 4.2 on a Nexus aren't necessarily going to be there on a skin phone because it gets replaced with manufactured stuff. So right. I think it's a little tricky. I think there are certainly some things that you would downgrade. Going from an S3 to a Nexus 4, the camera would be one. On the other hand, I guess the screen's a lot better. So it's more of a side grade, I guess, and whether you'd want to, especially in the US, go from an LTE device to a non-LTE device, that's going to be a difficult choice as well.
I don't want to spoil the whole thing just yet. And I think the tougher question for me would be something that's a little older, like the HTC One X, which is still a phone that I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I mean, I'll say this now about the One X Plus. I think the Nexus 4 is going to murder this handset in the UK. I think the fact that this is primarily a phone that's being sold SIM-free, that is double the price of the Nexus 4, I think it's going to really struggle to compete against it.
It's a shame
because it's a nice. Yeah. This thing has a lot going for it. I think if there wasn't a Nexus coming out this year, this would probably be my phone of choice. But
I'm sure there's a lot of people that'll buy the Nexus 4, and they would have been much happier had they bought the One X Plus.
Maybe I must remember this thing has 64 gigs of storage. So there's that.
What about the Galaxy Note 2? A lot of, or not even the 2, because you're not really going to update from that probably yet. But the Galaxy Note 1, a lot of people are asking about.
Updating from that to the 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, the thing with the Note is, and there have been rumors in the past week that it's actually going to get a full Jelly Bean update that makes it an awful lot like the Galaxy Note 2.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still a lot of life left in that handset, and there's feature-wise, there's a lot that you're not going to get on the Nexus 4 that you already have on the original Note. So it's a case of what features you need, right? It's whether you want to go with the more up-to-date hardware on the Nexus 4 versus the year-old hardware on the Note. With anything like that, it's a case of do you want the extra hardware that's the stuff like the stylus, right?
Right.
That's something you're not going to get on the Nexus. Right. So,
God, I want people to have this now. I'm tired of talking about it by myself. I want to hear what everybody else has to say about it, and not just in the abstract. I want to get it in hands, and I really want to see how many people crack it.
I'm sure we'll have drop test videos in the first day or so, and I'll be shocked that this glass brat.
I hate drop tests.
The thing I think me and Jerry were talking about maybe yesterday was that the LTE situation again, we've been hearing sort of whispers about maybe there's a Sprint version in testing, maybe there's an AT&T version in testing, and sort of coming to the conclusion that it's probably quite likely that in the next 6 months there'll be an LTE version of this in some way, shape or form. I was wondering what you think of that, Phil.
All right, let's go around the table. I think it's going to happen. Maybe not immediately. And maybe not in the way that it happened last time. You know, certainly not with Verizon holding all the cards. But I'd like to think that Sprint was too good a partner for Google to kind of pass up again. Because Sprint did really well with Galaxy Nexus. I know, a number of...
And the Nexus S4G, that was big.
Yeah, fan. And the Nexus S.
Yep.
So I don't think they're going to let that slide and just not let it happen.
I was saying as well, I think when that does happen, there will be an unlocked 800, 1800, 2600 European version.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the sort of burgeoning European LTE networks are going to want to get their hands on this early next year when they start launching.
Would make a great launch partner our new LTE network, here's a phone for 399 euros
right.
that takes full advantage of it, and it's the best new thing from Google.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone keeps asking about data, for, you know, LTE data versus HSPA plus data or whatever on this. I mean, the fact remains the Nexus 4 isn't going to be some magical, you know, data speed boost one way or the other.
Right.
I mean, that doesn't magically change. You know, for it to be any significant difference over any other phone you have right now, you know, would take some serious radio work or just something odd, right? So, I mean, it's not going to be... I'm not quite sure what people are expecting with that. I'm trying to think of all the things that when people get it in their hands, they're going to be really disappointed about. The polarization of the screen is still a little weird. You know, it takes a little getting used to. It's not nearly as jarring as, say, a pen dial display is, but it does take a little getting used to.
So what's the effect that you see with the polarization?
I'm not quite sure how to explain it. It's like...
The Optimus G is the same way, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got them both in your hands.
Yeah, it's... I don't have it turned on. It's not that, like... It's not that you lose... viewing angle, but it's Black Man X is calling it kind of a little shimmer, and maybe that's about right. I mean, it doesn't detract from the use, and it doesn't deter me from using it at all. But it's something you notice. Mm-hmm.
If it's close to the Optimus G, I mean, to me, it. I have special sunglasses I use when I'm trout fishing, so you can see the trout in the water without the sun glaring off the top of the water. It's kind of the same effect.
Right.
I put the sunglasses on and look at something bright. It's not quite as bright. The highlights aren't so overblown.
Exactly.
And, you know, so that's what I saw from the Optimus G. So if it's the same way, I think that's a good thing.
The Miracast is a little disappointing that I have, you know, that I went out and bought something that says it's Miracast compliant, even if it's pre-compliance compliance or whatever. So I worry a little bit about that, especially... You know, we need to see how big a feature LG and Google push that as. And at least when I was in Korea, they were kind of pushing that fairly hard, but they were showing it to us on LG, you know, displays that have it already built in, and it's working, and I get that. So I bought that Netgear adapter, and it just doesn't work, right? So I'm still talking to their PR about that. So they say it's supposed to be getting an update soon. Not sure if that update's going to fix it and make it work, but it's supposedly getting some sort of update. But even then, I mean, wireless display sharing has always just been this weird thing, right? I mean, every manufacturer has done something and to varying degrees of success. The HTC Media Link is decent, but all it does is mirror the screen on there, right? Well, that's not all it does. It does let you go and do other things, but it's like, okay, but it's slowish and it kills your battery and...
Is it an Android thing or is it an LG thing? So is it something you get on the 10 as well?
It's, I don't know, Jerry's the 10 have Miracast? No, we were talking about this yesterday, weren't we?
Yeah. It's on there. It's part of Android 4.2, but like we saw Phil and I were talking, it doesn't work with anything yet. There's nowhere in here that it tells me, you know, anything about Miracast, but there's the only appliance that they sell, the little Netgear box, isn't fully compliant yet. So unless you've got a brand new and very expensive TV from Sony or LG, you can't use it yet. So it kind of makes it a non-starter.
How significant do you think this is now in Android, just in general, rather than relying on manufacturers? Do you think it's going to, eventually replace things like MediaLink?
This is a good thing because Miracast is a display standard. You know, the IEEE has set up. This is the standard.
Right.
This is what everybody should go forward with if they want to be standards compliant. But because it's new, nobody's there yet.
Yeah, it's right. Way early. So I almost feel bad that I even said, hey, I'm testing this thing, because I know a couple of people were like, cool, I'm buying one too. And I'm like, no, I said I'm testing it. and I have a habit of, you know, testing, you know, it's what we do here. We test things. They don't always work. Yep. So don't go out and buy this just yet. I have a feeling it's going to work. I'm willing to bet the update they're going to bring to it is going to make it work. But for now, just doesn't work.
And you know, I can see an update to Android that something needs adjusted too.
Right.
That's not out of the question. I mean, I always think of the Nexus devices as beta.
Yes.
So maybe I'm cynical, but this is the final test. We get to test it by buying the phone.
Well, you know what I think is going to happen.
Let's see.
And I'm pulling this out of my butt. I have no, you know, sources or any of that stuff. I have a feeling if and when we see the Nexus Q again, it's going to have Miracast built into it. And I'm hardly the first one to say that, right? I mean, guys in the forums have been saying that for a week now. So I've been living in the forums, by the way, if you haven't been hanging out in mainly in the Nexus 4 forums. But if you guys haven't been hanging out in there, there's so much good stuff going on. It's really, really good discussion. No, I mean, that's I can see that happening. I think. I hope. Maybe.
Maybe. It really has sort of disappeared down a rabbit hole, hasn't it? The Nexus Q. Not even on the site anymore.
And I'm sure they're doing something, but for what it's worth, Jerry, I was just looking at the Nexus 10 specs again and like the official press site specs, which were a little more accurate than than the consumer facing ones. They don't have Miracast listed under wireless for the Nexus 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that was an Android 4.2 feature.
I thought it was too. Maybe it's an LG thing instead, which would make sense because
it's on the site.
What's that?
It's on the site, I think, as a 4.2 thing, Nexus 4 thing.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at the tech specs, and they don't have it listed there. And that would almost make sense. I mean, but Jerry, I thought it was you and I who were talking about some of the content providers being a little iffy on streaming stuff still.
Yeah, the media link for HTC won't stream everything. What was it? Netflix wouldn't stream out through the HDMI cable at first.
Right.
Content providers are afraid that you're going to take your phone and hook it up to a big screen and charge people to watch their crummy movies. They need to get over that, but that certainly could affect how this gets rolled out.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to pirate your films, I've got a computer. I'll steal your stuff day and night.
And
I'm
make not it look good.
Right. You know, I'll go to Redbox and rent it for a buck and have a Blu-ray copy.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. I'm trying to think other things people were worried about. HSBA Plus, 42 megabits per second.
Well, that's what's got me the most concerned is I'm lucky. I live in a place that has really good HSBA Plus 42 from T-Mobile. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to and I'm seeing across the internet this trend. Everybody's going to jump to T-Mobile because, oh, my God, the speeds are better than LTE. And, oh, my God, it's great. And, oh, it doesn't need battery. No, no.
In some places, it's better.
Right.
Where I am, it's horrible.
Plus service that's 40, 50K per second.
Right.
No, HSBA Plus is a network, you know, protocol. It does not mean fast.
I'd forgotten how bad T-Mobile is. There's like one, because we're basically surrounded by military bases here. And, there's like one or two 4G tower, 4G, you know, HSBA Plus towers for T-Mo here. So I had the T-Mo SIM in it, straight talk SIM, and I took it out to the beach last week and killed the battery in like 3 hours because it had such a crappy connection the whole time. So
it was probably bouncing on and off. If you could have stuck it on edge,
right. You'd
have had faster, better, more consistent connection.
But again, that's not something I want to mess with. I just want to, you know, it needs to work.
So I am all for people investigating prepaid service for their new cheap Nexus 4, something you really should try, but don't just try one.
And especially if you're going to, if you're looking at switching from Verizon or Sprint to get on GSM and to use this, try them. I mean, that's the number one thing you can do. Don't just up and leave. It's because these prepaid, you know, I've got a straight talk T-Mobile SIM so I can have T-Mobile service. And, you know, it's what, $35-40 a month? I mean, that's not nothing, but it's no contract, it's no commitment. If it, you know, I decide it sucks, I quit using it.
Exactly.
The more I think about it, I mean, it's a big deal, and we really need to kind of push that stuff better because the carrier system is so broken. It's ridiculous.
Now, I mean, I would, to me, if I was leaving Sprint or Verizon, I would try whichever was cheaper. Right now, you can try T-Mobile for $30 a month. And the very next month, I would try Straight Talk with AT&T.
Yeah.
If everyone worked, the better. That's who would get my money on the third month.
And that's the way to do it.
If you find that T-Mobile does work better for you, it is worth walking into a store and asking an employee about their completely unlimited, unthrottled plan. It does exist. T-Mobile's confusing as hell. They've got a million different plans. They've got a million different price rates. And you can't make any sense from their website. But they do offer a really good plan at a really good price if you go in and ask about it.
Right.
But make sure it works before you sign a contract.
And that, especially, you know, because it's probably the number one question we get, right? It's like, what carrier is good where I live and how can I find out? And now you can. Right. And that's, I mean, that's the genius of GSM. That's the beauty of GSM. That's why I love it so much more. That's why it's better than CDMA. I'll say it. You know, because you can do things like that and because they let you do things like that. And, you know, and Verizon's damn fast and they're everywhere now. But once you're locked in, you're locked in. It's tough. All right, let's go through some Nexus 4 things and then we'll let Jerry talk for a minute about the Nexus 10. He doesn't have to spoil his whole review. Oh, God, how much did I love this headline? Adamantium, unobtainium, and the pelt of a liger. Am I genius? Somebody in the forum started a thread about if you could have any other material make up the back of the Nexus 4, what would you use? Adamantium, that's, you know, Wolverine's claws. Unobtainium. What bad movies was that from, by the way? Anybody?
That was from Avatar.
Avatar, and worse and earlier, The Core. Nobody? Anybody? Chat room knows it.
No.
I'm sure the chat room knows.
Was that in The Core? That was a great movie. What are you talking about?
That was
about?
A horrible movie. It was, oh, what was her name? I can't remember her name. Chat room, save me. Yeah, it was not a good movie. but they went to the center of the earth in a little ship made of unobtainium.
Hillary Swank. Francis Roy. There we go.
Oh, it was bad. And a liger. Everybody knows what a liger is. Gosh. So, I'm looking through our links in the script. Doesn't work with a Palm Touchstone charger. Sorry. Will work with, you know, Qi, or Qi, excuse me. It's pronounced Qi. Qi is pronounced Qi. We did a video on how to, you know, turn on the developer settings, but we talked about that last week too. Quick settings, clock app. The clock app's still pretty damn cool. Hey, you know what I finally found today? I told Jerry, I was like, oops, there it is. The kind of reflow and zoom option in Gmail. So it is real. It's just not turned on by default. So it will resize the text in HTML emails. It allows you to pan around and zoom in and out. It's a little janky, and depending on the email, like some of them work really well and some of them are pretty horrible. So I'm bouncing around a little bit and whether or not I like it, but it's there. I'll do a video. I'll get some examples and we'll do a video and show it. But it's there. So it's just not turned on by default. So yeah, I don't know how I missed it in the settings the first time, 'cause I crawled all through those settings, but it's there. So that's good. Yeah. Some other things from the earlier leaks obviously are not true. Like the double swipe down or whatever. I don't know what else, anything else we care about. The Photosphere is getting pretty cool. If you haven't seen, Hugo Berra from Google shared a whole bunch of really good ones today. And
yeah, I saw that earlier.
And kind of the key, I think, is to just make sure as little is moving as possible and don't do it in an enclosed room. You know, you need some space to properly show it. I tried one in my daughter's, you know, and we have a, you know, small house. I tried one in my daughter's room because there's all sorts of pink crap in there and figured it would look interesting. And it just doesn't really work well in a small space. So, like, outdoors is awesome. If you saw the one I did Tuesday night from the soccer practice, you know, that turned out pretty well. It's fun. I'm thinking about places I want to go and try and do photospheres at. So again, I can't wait for everybody to get the proper hardware to run this on. So Jerry, here's a question. It's this really cool feature of the new camera app that, as far as I know, no other Android device has, right? Would Google put this out as a separate app, or could they?
I mean, they could. It was easy enough to get it to work on the Galaxy Nexus. Mm-hmm. It's not open.
Right.
I can tell you that. All the components of it aren't open source, so it's not going to be an AOSP. But it could be, you know, part of the Google Apps package, and they put it in the Play Store. I don't see that happening, but it could.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that some of the other components, like maybe the keyboard, will be on the Play Store. I think we'll get it on the Galaxy Nexus. You know, even some of these pictures that we're seeing from Googlers are Photosphere's take on the Galaxy Nexus. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be part of the update. But as for whether we'll...
Oh, what?
Blackman X says they're going to put it in iTunes.
Yeah, I'm flipping through some of these pictures now. I mean, they really are kind of fun to do and pretty cool, and it works surprisingly well. It really does. And you know what? It's not going to get worse, so I think it'll get better. I hope they really push it out to as many as possible.
Mm. And I think people are going to get better at taking them as it gets out to more hands. People get more used to it. You see some crappy ones out there for the past week, but it takes time to get good with this thing.
I think Google will make it available for partners, if that's what the question really meant. You know, when Samsung phones get 4.2, I don't see any reason why Google wouldn't allow them to use it.
I mean, the question is, would Samsung do it?
The S3 has the same sensor with better software, so the pictures could only be better.
And I'm trying to think this through. You know, it would make sense for Google to do that because ultimately this is pushing people to Google Plus so that you can share them and show them off and stuff. So
yeah, that's part of the strategy.
It would behoove Google to get as many people using this as possible.
I could totally see Samsung doing their own S-Sphere or something like that in the next phone.
Don't jinx it.
You know that? Well, you know what Google should really do? Google should make it into a cross-platform app. Make Photosphere for Windows Phone, especially for Windows Phone. Make Photosphere for iOS.
Everybody to Google Plus, correct?
Yeah. And it's not that 360-degree photos are new.
Windows Phone first, so it's yeah.
Well,
they need to sell more than three Windows phones before they worry about Google Plus apps.
Well, sure.
I mean, it'll get there. It'll get there.
It's not that these apps are new, because 360-degree apps have been around for a while. But I mean, this is the first time it's baked in. It's the first time Google's pushing. It's the first time a platform is championing it. I would love to see this on the Nokia hardware, right? Or on the
Yeah, 8X. Cool. And people are putting out pictures of Photospheres recorded on the S3, and they look better than most of the stuff that's been recorded on the Nexus 4. So
I'm gonna have to put it on my
this thing, and it's gonna really shine.
I'm gonna have to put it on my S3 now and try that. Actually, maybe I'll do that tonight instead of sleeping like I should. Because I like Photosphere a lot. It's a lot of fun. So, Jerry, you want to talk about the Nexus 10? You got 2 minutes. That's all you need, right?
What about it? It's an Android tablet. It's a little bit bigger than the last one, and it's got a screen that'll just give you tech wood. That's the best way to describe it. The screen is better than you can imagine. It's everything they promised it was, and it's the killer feature. Other than that, I can't say anything bad about it, but I'm still looking to see why it's better. I'm sure there's
someone saying in the chat Super AMOLED, but it isn't Super AMOLED. It's
not Super AMOLED.
It's PLS is the name.
Yes.
Somebody else was asking about
bezels.
Somebody else was asking about the multiple user count. Yeah, that's not turned on yet. We're supposed to be
not
getting that
turned on yet.
Anytime now.
Bezels are wide. The bezels aren't wide enough. I've used it. Trust me, of making a tablet with tiny little bezels is the stupidest thing any company could do. Give me room to put my big meaty thumbs. I wish they were a little bit wider.
Renee and I have been talking about that, and I've been trying to use the iPad mini a little more to get used to that. I mean, I think we'll get used to it one way or the other, but I agree. I have no problem with the thicker bezels. I think that's just kind of a made-up differentiator. I mean, it's not a made-up differentiator. It's a, right. It's a design differentiator, and it's fine, right? I have no problem if you want to make a tablet with smaller bezels, but don't tell me that, like, you know, one is only the way to do it. It's ridiculous. So
correct. I mean, this works just fine. Like I said, actually, I would be okay with it a few millimeters thicker, because I do find myself bumping the screen every once in a while, mm-hmm. especially if I'm holding it from the bottom.
We talked yesterday, Jerry, and I used the Nexus 10 a little bit before I shipped it up to you. For some reason, I'm just kind of nonplussed about it. It's like, all right, here's another 10-inch tablet.
And that's it. It's
and even though, I mean, it's got Android 4.2, and that's important. That's good. So mm-hmm. why am I just not enthused about it?
Because the Nexus 7 changed things, brought something new, and this one doesn't. This is a much better, much lighter, better constructed, mm-hmm. whole lot better screen Galaxy Tab 10.1 with the new version of Android on it, or Zoom with the new version of it. It's a 10-inch tablet, and we're used to them.
I think that the big thing that most people aren't really giving enough credit towards in the 10 is the CPU and how much that's going to influence gaming on right. the Nexus 10 once things start to take off. Jerry, if you haven't already, get Need for Speed Most Wanted on there, because that should absolutely fly and look really, really awesome on that tablet. I think once Nexus you start to get more game developers, go on.
When it comes to games, I miss my Nexus 7.
Yes.
Yeah.
Plays better. It's the pixels, well, man.
The seven doesn't quite match it with hardware, does it?
No, definitely not. Also. But it's the pixels. It's I can open twice as many tabs in Chrome on the 7 as I can in the 10. It's the pixels.
Yeah,
you're just pushing so much. It's, and I don't want to try to steer anybody away from the 10. It's an amazing device. It's like Alex was saying, the hardware inside it is nothing we've ever seen before. It's a completely different and much more improved platform all the way. It's going to need tweaked or something. I ripped a Blu-ray of Prometheus. That's how I'm going to judge the screen.
Mm-hmm.
1080p looks freaking gorgeous. Unless I have something going in the background, then it stutters while I'm playing it. If I'm not doing anything in the background, sound and video are perfectly in tune. It looks like something that you can't imagine. It is that good. But if I'm downloading something or automatically updating stuff from the market in the background, the playback stutters.
All right, so there's a question. Do they need to rework how Android works on a screen of that resolution? Do they need to limit multitasking? And yes, I'm going there.
I don't know.
Not with that kind of hardware. I think it's just about getting more out of the chip they've got in there. Android right. is always giving priority to stuff that's running in the foreground as every OS does.
Okay.
It's just like Renee says, maybe it's just a bug.
Or this is early software. I mean, it really bothers me that we're reviewing these without the final build on it.
That bugs me a little bit. People have asked why we haven't gone into more, you know, depth on the camera, and that's the major reason why. One reason why is because my N4 review is 6,000 words already. But the other one is I want to make sure we have kind of final software on that before we really go looking at shutter speed and things like that, because that's the sort of thing that tends to get tweaked. And it's a very important one. So I want to make sure, and I think Jerry and I will probably, you know, kind of tag team that. And Alex too. Alex is a good photog. So, I wanted to, you know, wait. I have no problem in waiting on that. Man, you guys don't know how like relaxing it was to just sit back and write a little bit every day and not cram this thing out in 40. Oh, it's so nice. Mm. All right. Inside baseball. A lot of reviews, you know, when you get embargoes, you know, if you have like a week, that's a good thing. And then even then I tend to slack and I'll do it all the last day or whatever. But in this case, like there is an embargo and that's fine. But the damn thing doesn't go on sale for another week and a half after that. So I'm just like, you know what?
Well, you notice the embargo date was the iPad 2 the iPad 2 when I'm talking about the iPad mini and iPad 4 launch date, wasn't it?
Well, and I'm not going to spill too many secrets because they're not necessarily mine to share, but you know, the final embargo date was not the first embargo date. Let me, you know, leave it at that. So without getting into, you know, what that might have been, it's just like, yeah, I mean, in either way, you know, it was still like, you know what, we have time. Nobody, you know, nobody is waiting to read our review to decide whether to buy it that day. And that's my point. So, I mean, if anybody's listening, like, that's the way to do it. It was so nice. And I think it gives everybody so much more time to work. And for me, it's nice that I'm finally done. I can go read all these other reviews now and see what my friends, you know, saw that I didn't. And I was talking to some of the guys about it, you know, as we're all writing, we're comparing notes a little bit and seeing different things. And I mean, you should have seen us all banging our heads together, like, where the hell are the developer settings? But
and Tuesday or Monday morning, when you all get up, you will see my Nexus 10 review. I'm not reading anybody else's. I'm going to tell you how it worked for me. You know, I've had it since Tuesday. You don't want me to write it now. Because if I write it now, all I have to say is that it's a really good screen. Man, I love my Tegra games on the 7-inch instead. I wish I could put this thing back on the shelf and be done with it. That's not a review.
Right.
So you all are going to get everything that I can get out of it for about a week.
The other awesome thing is having time to sit around. Like, I've been living in the forums for the past week as I'm writing this, just, you know, seeing what people are asking. What do you want to know? You know, stuff like the speaker. You know, that we normally don't pay that much attention to, but that's a big question for people. So,
right. The speaker on this thing, I'll put that up with the screen.
Really?
Good job, Google and Samsung. Yes.
Cool.
It's stereo on a tablet for real.
Jerry likes to make fun of me, and he says, you know, Phil, it's obvious when you're enjoying a phone. Because you get excited and you write more, and he's right, but it's so much more fun to do. Yeah, so when I say I want people to get this phone and use it, I really do mean it, because I really do think it's that good. And you know, and it's exciting to see LG do something good and for it to come here, because we've been saying that for a long time. So, all right, I think that's enough gushing over Nexus for one night. Jerry, I don't know if you ever saw it. I did my kind of. We're trying to do more of these Ask AC video posts, right? And Jerry and Alex need to do some, by the way.
Hey, I had a little visitor called Sandy for a week. Now.
Yes, you did. the first one I did was like, hey, when's 4.2 coming to, you know, my Galaxy Nexus or whatever? And Jerry, did I call that right? Probably. You know, we'll see it sometime next week, maybe. Starting next week, maybe the week after.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know for sure, but right. I don't see any reason why we should have it until. I don't want them to rush it, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Take your time, JBQ and team.
But, like, it's not going to be out like tomorrow when we still have 5 days to go for the. Yeah. That's what I'm getting at. So, Alex, you want to talk a little bit about the 1X Plus? Because you've got one. I've played with it briefly. I mean, it's essentially a 1X, right?
It is essentially a 1X, all about a lot of, you know, small changes in the hardware and the software. The biggest one for me, I think, is this new finish that we've got on here. And if you've ever used or seen any of HTC's new Windows Phone stuff, it's essentially the same finish. They've got this polycarbonate block and they've dumped it in soft touch plastic. So
it's nice.
Really nice finish back to it.
It is so nice, you guys. You have no idea. I just kind of want to like hold it and stroke it. It's so soft.
It is. And one of the things I noticed is I was using the older 1X for a couple of weeks, I think. And the polycarbonate, I think if you're resting it on a table for any length of time and you're picking it up and putting it back down, it does wear away at it a little bit. And I think the soft touch on this is a little bit more durable, a little bit less slippery, feels much nicer in the hand. I think it's just a better finish all around. The other side of it is the software. The software and what you've got inside it, and the hardware, and the faster Tegra 3 chip and the bigger battery. I think the faster chip makes a kind of a big difference in games, but you're not going to notice much of a difference just in day-to-day usage. The big performance increase in here, I think, comes from Jelly Bean, not from any kind of new hardware.
So you've used this, and you've used the 8X on a Windows Phone, and they're both, you know, soft touch and feel awesome, but. The difference in design, do you prefer one over the other?
The 8X looks nicer. I think the 8X has a much more striking design. It's got this really unusual tapered edge where it gets really, really thin towards the edge. In the middle, it's a bit thicker.
Right.
This is more of a sort of traditional smartphone design. It's a curved slab of plastic. Both look very nice. I think my personal preference, probably the 8X looks a lot better. But again, they're both very nice.
We've talked about it before briefly. And in some of the meetings I had with ACC is when they first told us about this different design and how they have the battery between the display and the PCB and the circuit board, right? So that allowed them to get things thinner and interesting.
Yeah, I think that's not in here, though. I think that's pretty much the same internal.
Right, not in the 1X, but in the 8X. Yeah. But what I'm getting to is on Tuesday, I'm going to be in New York City for an HTC Verizon event. And we're all expecting the Droid DNA. So, I mean, we had the first leak pictures, and we've seen a whole bunch of really good renders come out from EVLeaks. Do you think we're going to start getting that design in the Android side of things now? I hope so.
Maybe. I think the design we're getting now is a standalone design, in the same way that they have their own design set for Windows phones. They're going to have their own designs for Verizon. You look at the, what was it, last year, the one they had, the 720p one.
Five inch. Oh, this is going to be interesting, guys. man, I mean, because it's not oversized like the Galaxy Note, and you kind of know it's oversized, and you're expecting it, right? Is this going to be some weird in-between?
Maybe. I don't know. We're going to have to wait until we get it on our hands to see whether it's usable, I think.
Right.
That you're going to have to cut down so much bezel, I think, to make this... for it not to seem like this big gigantic slab of foam.
I'm real interested to see what happens. So.
Yeah. I don't know. We've seen so much leaked about this, and I think it's going to be sort of a relief to finally have it and see how the battery holds up, see how the screen holds up, whether there's how performance is with the higher resolution.
You know what? I almost want to go on record and say that the battery will be too small. The screen will be absolutely incredible. The performance will be great at the expense of multitasking.
Finish up.
I just was going to say, I hate to say that, but that's really the direction HTC... To me, now, Alex, you've used the 1X Plus. I haven't. That's just – that worked for HTC. A lot of nerds complained about the multitasking, and a lot of nerds say, oh, the battery. But people bought the 1X and, I'll just charge it in the afternoon. I don't care. And I don't care if the browser closes when I go back because this phone is so nice. It looks so good and it runs so fast. So I think HTC is going to stick with that and just go.
Let me just sort of go into a bit more detail about those issues on this thing. Multitasking, absolutely fine on this. I didn't mention it in the review, but it's not something I had any problems with. So, things weren't closing at all. I specifically decided to sort of go back to apps that were closed and jump back into them. No problems with that. Apps that were open ages ago, loading...
But here's my thing. HTC and Verizon have a weird track record. I mean, think back to the Thunderbolt, right? It was pretty revolutionary for the time, and they were all trying. HTC was trying something new. Verizon was trying something new with it, and it ended up. It was exciting at first, but it just ended up to be a big mess. Can HTC afford to have that sort of mess with Verizon now? Especially, we need to. I've been thinking about HTC's financials today because they're in the crapper, right? They've been in the crapper for a while. And I think it's important to not look at this upcoming phone that we're going to see on Tuesday. The Droid DNA is not going to save HTC. A Verizon HTC phone is not going to save HTC. Uh-uh. You got to go back and look at the numbers and look at how few people worldwide, when you're activating a million Android devices today, and Verizon had 3 million, I think, in 3 months, or maybe it's 1.3 million. I forget the exact numbers. In 3 months, it's night and day, the differences in numbers. So this HTC device on Verizon is not going to save the company, right? It's not going to raise their stock price and get them back in the black. So that's something we need to remember as we go into next week and that phone eventually goes on sale in the coming weeks.
I'm going to go on the record and say over the next year, yeah. I'm going to say in the next year that Windows Phone is going to be bigger for, well, not necessarily bigger, but more significant for HTC than Android is.
Right.
I think they've got a lot of them, but having the Microsoft marketing dollars behind them,
yeah,
and that's going to be huge for them if they're going to compete with Samsung.
Exactly.
I would agree with that completely. And that's, you know, that's a good thing for Windows Phone fans, but that's a bad thing for us. HTC, we need HTC to stay active in Android.
Yeah.
They have done some things that nobody else dared to do, and we're all better because of it. But I can also see why HTC doesn't want to make a million different models of Desire and flood the market with cheap handsets to try to turn a profit again. That's a hard road to travel.
Well, they said they didn't want to do that, and then they went and did it anyway. So I'm really sure what they're doing with that. We had the 1SV this week released in parts of Asia. We had with the Desire X, the Desire C, and countless other phones. So I think that's kind of gone out the window towards the end of the year as the need to make money has really kicked in.
Oh, yeah. That's always going to trump plans. And
they're doing it here as well with the VX on AT&T. Remember that thing got announced a month ago, and we still don't know when it's coming out. And it's a nice phone, but it's like, all right, we're waiting.
We still don't know when the 1X Plus is coming to AT&T.
Right.
Verizon's going to have this awesome 5-inch 1080p thing, and where's HTC? Where's AT&T's
version? It's such a weird. I was talking with some HTC people in San Diego at CTI about. We weren't even talking about phones. And I said, look, and we were talking about these, the frequency stuff, the off the record type stuff that we do a couple times. And I said, I really want to get a better understanding from the executives. Because both time we've been there, Jason McKenzie, who's, one step below Peter Chow, he reports to Peter Chow and that's it. And Jason McKenzie, will talk to us and help us, understand what's going on a little bit. But it's like there's so many things that go into whether or not a smartphone is going to be successful that has nothing to do with how good that phone is. It has nothing to do with my review of it or your review of it and what we think of it. It has to do with marketing. It has to do with margins. It has to do with advertising dollars and what's available. It has to do with carrier relationships and partner relationships and just so much stuff. And it's like, how the hell does it come together? How does Samsung get it done where HTC hasn't? And HTC has products that... I think you can make the argument are as good, or at least are really, really close.
Well, I said it in my review. This thing in every way is better than the Galaxy S3, but there's no way they're shifting 30 million of them. It's just not happening.
Right. And like Blackman X says in the chat room, HTC can't spend the Samsung money. Of course not. And HTC has said that to me. But
HTC isn't funding that with sales of fridges and washing machines.
Right. But LG doesn't have that money either. But LG has all these other, into the business as well. It's really intriguing that there's so much stuff going on that has to do with whether or not any smartphone makes it. And there have been a lot of good phones out there that haven't made it. Hell, I hate bringing up the HTC Merge, but that was actually a really good phone that never got sold on Verizon, right? It's really incredible the stuff that goes on. So when I hear people complaining about multitasking, it's like, that's a small thing, man. that's a really tiny thing. Yes, LG makes laundry machines, they say in the chat room. Well, so does Samsung. They both make tons of stuff. That's what makes this business fun.
At one point, somewhere down, in the history of things, the appliance and, other electronic divisions of Samsung helped prop their mobile division up and get them where they are today, their mobile division is making a killing. LG is in the shape. They can do that. HTC can't.
Right.
Yeah, that's the fundamental problem with HTC is that they're only – they've even pulled out tablets this year, haven't they? And there was that big story, the big news that a company not making –
we've quit tablets. Making products we've already quit making, yes.
Yes, the fact is HTC is so focused now on just phones that they don't have all this other revenue to prop it up when they have a bad year.
I'm not sure the tablets are propping anything up.
I'm not going to second guess anybody's business decisions, but I would have bought a company that makes air conditioners instead of Beats. you know, if you want to diversify, they didn't really go the right way with that.
Yeah.
So they're kind of stuck.
Yeah, and they have it in their phones now, and it's all well and good, but they've just backpedaled so much on that over the past year. Yeah. The point where the headphones aren't even in there, and they made such a big deal out of that, and so much noise was made, and they had all these Beats events towards the end of last year, and it's just vanished into thin.
I want to see him do well. I think it's important that they do. I like him as a company. I like him as a product. You know, and that's my very first smartphone was the Trio 750, and who made that? HTC. So it's,
I mean, until a Nexus 4 gets in my hands, I will use the One X. It's one of the favorite phones I have.
Yeah, I'm pulling for them. I hope they can do it. Oh man. All right, well, let's start winding down. Maybe we got a bunch of really good voicemails, and I want to do them all tonight because we didn't do any last week. So let me find my list and see who we want to start with. Where's my list? And actually, we're going to start with one, and I apologize, I didn't catch your name. You're from Brooklyn. I tried to find you on Twitter today, and I just couldn't understand it in the quality of the recording, so I apologize. So I'm calling this one Brooklyn's voicemail, if that's okay.
This call is for the Android Central podcast. This is Sheldon from Brooklyn, and I just was listening to your last podcast, and Jerry mentioned that it's a good thing that Motorola develops outside from Google. This way you can have advancements from multiple places that we could all enjoy, which made me think there is no alternate phone out there. Every maker does a particular thing well and lacks in other places. But if you could make your ultimate phone, what would it look like? Using existing technology right now, what camera from which phone would you use? What build design? What build quality? What screen resolution would you use? You know, of course, you have to start with stuck Google, but after that, it's all up in the air. Can't wait to hear what you think. By the way, the phone's name is going to be the Google Platypus. Thanks, guys.
I like that, the Google Platypus. All right, Jerry, build me your Frankenphone in 30 seconds.
Did you ever see that episode of The Simpsons where he designs the car? My phone would be way bigger than I wanted it to be and have every single whiz-bang thing attached to it that I'd never use because I want it there just in case. Or it would basically be the One X with stock Android. You know how happy that would make me?
Yeah.
You know, I would either go really simple or really outlandish. I don't know yet.
Alex?
I think mine would have to be a One S. Chassis with a 1X screen.
Yes. Oh, you have no idea.
That's not fair.
Anytime we're all in the room with the ACC guys, we're like, really? Come on. Hurry up. Figure it out. Do it. And
can
they
I
just
change
can't,
mine?
They just can't get that display in that size is the only thing. Because God knows they want to do it. You absolutely. Oh, yeah. And in fact, I picked up the 1S yesterday to take a picture. I was like, oh, that's such a nice phone.
The soft touch stuff is nice, the new HTC soft touch stuff, but there is something that just feels better about the cold metal of the 1S.
I agree. I'm going with Alex there. So okay, let's do.
I am too.
Yeah. All right, let's do Danny's voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Danny Onofalokan. I'm calling to not only congratulate you guys on the milestone you reach with your forum members, but also just thank you for giving me a home for Android after the previous podcast I used to listen to went away. You guys do a fantastic show. I'm pretty excited myself. It's a pretty big week for me. I finished my master's degree, as well as I am getting my citizenship through naturalization in a few weeks. So I'm really stoked. I think I'm going to give myself a gift. But, the reason I'm calling was maybe in reference to that gift, but you guys were talking about Motorola and asking what do they do to innovate. Everything's kind of the same. Up to you. I'm not a Motorola fanboy. I've never owned a Motorola phone. Actually, used to have G phones in the past. I really like those. But where Motorola is innovating, in my opinion, is in battery life. Simply, if you don't want a Galaxy Note or a Galaxy Note 2, if you just want a regular handset with excellent battery life, I mean, not even excellent, phenomenal, because you could argue that the Galaxy S3 has, you know, pretty good battery life. Motorola is where it's at with the Razor Max HD. It's a regular comparatively sized handset that gives you all day and then some battery life. You know, there's all the apps I need, I get from the App Store. Apps aren't what I'm lacking on my Android devices. Battery life is. It's ridiculous. So, yep, that's where I think Motorola is leading the way. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Some will be said for that. We talked about that a little bit last week with the, or the week before, I forget when, with the Galaxy S3 and how they've gotten a bigger battery in the, you know, smaller amount of space. And yeah, I completely agree. Battery life is where it's at now. I mean, hardware is kind of plateaued.
It's kind of, like you're saying, it's kind of a market that Motorola has themselves now with, right, with the Max. No one's really trying to edge in there, which is maybe a bit surprising because they've been at it for a whole year now.
Well, and I will say, I think we need to remember and be careful anytime you say, you know, hear somebody say, oh, the Razer Max HD has awesome battery life. Well, it has a huge battery, and that's different. And when you see all these graphs aren't equalized for hardware, right? I mean, it's, you see the Razer Max HD way up here in how long the battery lasts. But when you even it out to size, you know, capacity and battery life are two different things. So, but I completely agree. I mean, you have these huge capacity batteries in a relatively normal size phone, right? And it's really, really good. And I'm happy to see that.
We need the manufacturing technology to get the big battery into the little chassis, and then the software technology that Samsung and LG are using to increase the life of the battery you have.
And do it in a way that doesn't leave you glowing when you go to bed at night.
Right. We can have a phone we only have to charge twice a week.
I'm okay with plugging it in overnight. I really have no problem with that. You know what? I really want to see wireless charging like actually take off and work this time.
You mean like set it on a charging mat kind of thing?
Either that or go back to what the Nexus One had with the desktop dock and the pogo pins, and because that was fine too once I got finished knocking it off.
I didn't know if you meant that or the real wireless charging where it just charges through the air. That's what I'm waiting for.
That scares the hell out of me a little bit, actually. I'm done having kids, but that kind of makes me wonder if I could, you know. Let's move on to Jason.
Hello, this is Jason from Indiana. I know there will have already been quite a bit of discussion about the Nexus 4, but I specifically want to discuss price and how this could be a really big deal. We can now go to the Play Store and for $299 or $349 buy an unlocked high-end smartphone with no contract, while carriers continue to charge $200 or more for a smartphone that locks you in for a full 2 years, and the unsubsidized ones sell at outrageous prices in the $700 range. Is there a chance this will affect carrier pricing, particularly the U.S. GSM carriers? Thanks a lot for all that you guys do with the podcast, website, and forums. Goodbye.
Man, I want you to be right. I want you to be so right.
Yep.
But
that depends on us.
But
everybody listening?
It's not going to happen. The carriers do not give a damn what Google's doing. The carriers have their pricing model here, and nothing will mess with that.
The carriers give a damn about what we do, and we fall for the, it's only $199 on a $3,000 multi-year contract.
I know.
It's only $199. Tell the carriers go get stuff to buy it from the Play Store, and they'll listen.
Vote with your wallet.
It's 22.
It's got more of a chance of making an impact in the market.
Alex, go unplug your headset.
Unplug.
Unplug your headset. We're right at 1 hour. This is when Alex turns into a pumpkin, and he has to unplug his headset and plug it back in. He knew that.
There we go.
Yep. Welcome back.
Perfect.
So I think it's going to make more of a difference in markets that are more GSM and more open, where it is more common just to buy a phone and a contract separately. I think the fact that you can get a really good 3G phone for that price is going to, like I say, knock off a lot of phones like this, which are similar specs but sold for twice the price.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room asked, what difference does it make if you plan on staying with the carrier anyway? $20 a month difference.
Yep.
They charge you extra to subsidize a phone, and if you're not going to subsidize it, they're just taking $20 extra a month from you. And the only carrier in the U.S. that does that different is one of those off-the-wall T-Mobile plans.
Right. And Andrew did an interesting post on that this week about, you know, maybe that'll save you a little money, or there's a good reason to do it. But I mean, God, for $300 to $350 unlocked, this is the way to buy a phone. This is the way you should buy a phone.
I'm telling you.
And I do I put this in the review. I do not care in the slightest if Google's taking a bath on this thing. I don't care how much Google's subsidizing it through its services.
They have plenty of money.
Yeah. I could not care less. This is the price I think a phone should be to get me into the ecosystem and to spend more money elsewhere. Unlocked, it's the way to buy it. You know, you order it, it's there the next day. None of this direct fulfillment crap that you have to do for an iPhone, you know, and waiting 2 and 3 weeks to get an iPhone. I mean, that's ridiculous. This is order your phone, get it the next day or 2 days, whatever it is. We'll find out, I guess, Tuesday. Should be next day, I bet. So, really good question. I hope it changes things. I don't think it's gonna. I'm sorry.
No.
I hope I'm wrong.
I don't think it's gonna either.
Peter.
This is Peter calling for the Android Central podcast. I have two things I want to talk about. First, to Mark from New York, try Llama instead of Timerific. It's one of the best apps I've ever used. In fact, I made a brief switch to iOS this year, and that app alone is enough to bring me back to Android. With that said, I'm looking for a new phone on Verizon. I pretty much have it narrowed down to the Droid Razr HD and Samsung S3. I'm leaning towards the S3 for the extra 2 gigs of RAM, the user replaceable battery, and a strong developer community for the S3. I just don't see Motorola ever having the selection of ROMs that the S3 has. Is there any reason I should choose the Motorola over the Samsung? Thanks.
I think the big thing that you'd have mentioned there is software.
Right.
And the fact that the, I think the Razr is still on ICS. As the Note is on Jelly Bean, so that's going to make a big difference when it comes to performance, and you're going to have a much smoother experience on the Note.
I agree.
I just want to say you need to check with your neighbors and make sure that the signal in your area is happy with the S3. That would be the only thing I could think of to say go Motorola. Is the signal is really consistent everywhere. So,
well, but I mean, Motorola, you're talking either AT&T or Verizon. So you're good.
No, Verizon.
Or Sprint. Oh, on Verizon? Yeah, then he's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. If you live in an area with a good, strong signal, go for the S3. I'm sorry. Sorry, Motorola, but yeah.
Yeah. I want Moto to do something. I think if you're not following him, and I totally just forgot his name, but the new CEO at Motorola was on Google Plus today, just promoting stuff. And he, you know, it's Google Plus, and it's like somebody writing two sentences. But dude sounds excited, and that's good to hear. I've got high hopes for Moto. Maybe get Motorola buys HTC. Well, that wouldn't really work now, I guess. I don't know. Sorry.
I don't want to see that happen. Yeah, I want more competition, loud. Not less.
Yeah. All right, last voicemail from Ramon.
Hey, guys. My name is Ramon, and I'm Ramon M2 in the Android Central forums. I just had a quick question because I'm actually shopping around for a new carrier. I was in Sprint. I'm just dissatisfied with their service. But one of the things I was looking at as far as where I'm going is insurance on the phone or a protection plan for the phone necessary? Why would you consider possibly removing an insurance plan from your monthly payment with a carrier, or would you guys suggest probably keeping it on for the 2-year contract? Let me know what you guys think, and you guys are doing a great job. Thank you.
I've never had one.
Can we get him to do the intros for the podcast from now on?
Hey, what's wrong with the intro?
Nothing. It was so clear and refreshing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What's wrong with my intros?
Nothing. You're the shining spot on every Thursday.
Nah, I've never had insurance on my phone. I mean, the cost is so little. It just seems extra to me. I don't know. And it doesn't make me be any extra careful with it because I don't have insurance on the phone. Alex, can you guys even get insurance over there on yours? Do you have have insurance in Europe?
You can, depending on carriers and stuff, and even some third party retailers offer it. I don't have it. I don't. I know some people that have it. It's generally sold to you at a very, very small addition to your monthly bill. I think people just get it just because it's an extra, you know, £5, £6, £7 a month just for the extra peace of mind. But it's not particularly widespread, I don't think.
I'm okay with that. Jerry doesn't do it. Jerry doesn't use a rope.
Hell no, Jerry. I don't even wear underwear. Get insurance. I just go.
I knew that was coming, by the way. I totally knew that was coming. That was excellent voicemails, guys. Thank you very much. Let's burn through some emails. Michael writes, I know Jerry is a big proponent of using Google's cloud services to stream music, thereby eliminating the need to use up storage space on your phone for music files. The only drawback I see with this approach is the playback of music that should be gapless. Live concert albums or many Pink Floyd albums go back to track continuously and are meant to be listened to without the annoying pause from one track to another. The Play Music app on my Nexus 7 doesn't stream songs gaplessly. Is there any alternative that you know will do this? I'm in the same boat because I listen to a lot of live music. I just kind of learned to accept it. It sucks. But Jerry, you know anything?
It's going to depend on how the files were converted. If you want it to play as one big solid stream, you need to make the entire album on MP3, and then it'll play with no gaps. But if you break it into more than one file, there's going to be a gap between. I know on the computer they have software that you can play it gapless, but we're not a computer yet.
I think what he might be talking about is having a buffering gap between tracks, and if you've got it set to automatically cache music, you shouldn't get that. I know sometimes it doesn't always work like that.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of both.
The only way to completely avoid that is just to pin it in the app so it's on the phone all the time.
But what I do, I listen to a lot of Grateful Dead bootlegs. Imagine that. I'll rip them into one giant MP3. It's 450 megabytes, but it uploads to Google Play or Google Play Music just fine. Hmm. And I just stream it, and it sounds like I expect it to sound from the old recordings.
Jerry actually has vinyl on his Android phone.
Oh, definitely. I've got that piles of it.
Ryan writes, my girlfriend is looking for a new phone with a keyboard. She has the Droid X, but she misses the physical keys. We are on Verizon, and she can finally get an upgrade, but there isn't much of a selection. Do you know of any phones that are coming out soon with a keyboard? Stratosphere 2, but we don't know when that's coming. Hadn't been announced yet. We've just seen leaks. Is there anything other than the Stratosphere 1 on Verizon with them? I don't think so. Stop it.
You think we're done with Droid phones having keyboards? You know, we're not going to get Droid 5.
On Verizon? Yeah. Ooh, that's a good question, because when did the Droid 4 come out?
About a year ago, I think.
Has it been that long? Because I don't think they did a year between the 3 and the 4.
It was pre-Bionic, wasn't it?
I think it's been a while, and I reviewed it. I don't think it's been that long. But, I think it might be done. Let me look and see when I reviewed that. It's a good question. All right, somebody read the next voicemail or email.
Mike from Toronto writes, to me, the most interesting part of Android 4.2 is Photosphere. As known of an S3, I have a feeling that it might be well before I see a 4.2 update. What are the odds Google will release Photosphere as a standalone app like they did with the calendar? I think we kind of touched on this before, that it's not impossible, but probably not very likely. If anything, you might see it worked into the Samsung camera app, maybe in a 4.2 update. But the alternative is just sort of hacking the 4.2 camera app on there right now. And you can do that on the S3. People have done that.
I'm going to try it.
It's like six different components. It's not as simple as just one app. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of system stuff that needs to go in. But still, I mean, it could be done.
I'm still going to try it. Yep. I found it. So I reviewed the Droid 4 back in February, mid-February.
Oh, this year?
Yeah, 2012.
Hmm.
It is what it is. So
maybe we'll see Motorola in Barcelona saying, check out this hot phone with a keyboard.
No, not in Barcelona. Maybe CES in January. Yeah, CES in January, maybe, but they didn't show this off at CES either. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, they didn't?
Last one, Jerry. You want it?
Sure. Wendy writes, guys, why aren't there ever any women on the podcast? I use Dogcatcher to listen to your podcast and have been listening for several months. I used to listen to CNET and enjoyed having male and female voices. I miss that.
I agree.
Phil, why aren't there any women on our podcast?
Well, and I know the women who do the I know most of the women who do the CNET podcast, and I miss them too. They're good people. And frankly, they're far more attractive than the three of us. So I don't know. We need to get Ashley on here and maybe some others. So definitely. I'm gonna work on that. We're gonna get it done. Wendy, we're doing it for you. And because we should. We have binders full of women here. We have smartphones full of women. Yeah, I'm just gonna get in trouble with that. That's not going anywhere good. So.
Oh, Wendy, maybe we get Wendy on the podcast.
Maybe we should. You think this is easy? Wendy?
Oh.
I really do kind of want to do some contest at some point to get somebody on the podcast. I just worry about it. Because on one hand, it's just like people sitting around talking, but I know how bad it can go too.
Me enter.
Yeah.
And you have to deal with two of us.
Maybe we do one, but we don't do it live. I don't know. We'll talk about it.
That could work.
We'll get it figured out. I'm not saying like somebody would try to sabotage us. I'm just saying this ain't easy. I mean, I have to plan for like a whole 5 or 10 minutes before we do one of these things. It's tough. This is hard work, guys. All right. I said it with a straight face. Enough. I think that does it. I think we're done. I think we made it through another hour talking about phones and not lambasting the lack of LTE or storage or whatever else, because it is what it is. And there's not a damn thing I can do about it at this point, guys. I'm sorry.
I know I'm making a petition for a 4 gigabyte version, though.
Oh, stop it. I'm petitioning everybody to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com with your questions. And you can get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral. I'm @PhilNickinson. Jerry is @GBHIL. Alex is @AlexDoby. You can search for all our names on Google Plus too, because it's actually, I think it's easy to say we all enjoy Google Plus better, but the interaction is so much better. Twitter's just like a waterfall, whereas Google Plus is like a lazy sauna where everybody's just hanging out. All right, that one's about to go bad, too.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. We are brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can call them at 888-468-6158. They don't sell saunas, but they should. Be really cool if they did. A Lloyd sauna comes with your own Lloyd doll.
I'd buy it.
Yeah. You can leave us a voicemail at that same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222. Or if you really want to be cool, do what Ramon did and record it on your computer and email it into us, because it sounds awesome. Sounds really good, so that's the way to do it. Or you can call 888-468-6158, extension 222. Jerry, Alex, thank you. Chat room, thank you, guys. We'll be back. Well, we'll be live from New York on Tuesday morning. Then I'm right back on a plane coming home from my kid's soccer game. I guess we'll do a podcast next Thursday, huh?
Don't bug me Tuesday. Yep. I'm going to be at the Play Store with my finger on the button.
Okay. Me too. I'll do it from a plane.
And I might have a Galaxy cap. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I know. We got to figure out. That's what we got to do later this week, is figure out how many of these things we're buying. Because, oh, by the way, tomorrow, be around the website on Friday, boys and girls, because I think we're going to announce something that has to do with Nexuses. Multiple Nexuses. I'm just saying. So, stay tuned. And with that, we're out of here. Jerry, Alex, thank you. Chat room, thank you, guys. Everybody listening at home, you're awesome. You're why we do this, and we'll see you next week.
Later on, everybody.
See ya.